Can I have your Bibles? Let's go to Judges, chapter number 3. Judges, chapter number 3. Before I read my text this evening, the book of Judges, I studied through this a while back, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I shared some of this before, but to understand where we're going tonight, I need to go over this again. The book of Judges, there's just a recurring cycle that takes place. You start out, you see Israel, they're serving God. Thank you, Brother Joe. They're serving God, but then, somewhere along the line, they start sinning against God. And let me tell you, their sinning against God, it started from lack of separation. They did not remove all those nations they were supposed to. And so now that idolatry that they had, they started toying around with it. They started compromising. And so they started sinning. They didn't get rid of it. And so because of that, we see they're serving, then they're sinning, then we see Israel suffering at the hand of God. God chastens His people. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever confuse God's patience and His long-suffering with God's acceptance. You're living your life contrary to the Word of God, and you are a child of God. Chastening will come if you don't get right. You can just count on it. And so what would happen, because of their sin, God would chasten them. He would allow them to go into bondage to those nations around Him. And so then once the bondage would take place, their suffering, we see Israel's supplication. They would start crying out to God for deliverance. That He'd deliver them from their oppressor. And what's sad a lot of times is they would be in bondage for 7, 8 years, sometimes even longer, before they'd ever cry out to God for deliverance. You know why? Because they love their sin. Let me just jump ahead. You see people all the time, and you look at their life, and here's what we think. Man, I couldn't live my life that way. Brother Dre, I look at some people's lives, and it's just a complete mess and a train wreck, but they don't want to change. Let me tell you why they don't want to change. They love their sin. That's really what it came down to. And so, once they got fed up with the way life was, and they were ready to repent of their sins, they begin to cry out to God for deliverance. And God would send a deliverer, a judge. You see God's salvation, that when Israel would repent, they'd call out God. God would send someone to come and deliver them from those nations that were pressing them. And so, there's a lot of God's people, they're in that same vicious cycle. Let me just go ahead and tell you, they know they're to separate, but they're in the world. They toy around with their separation. Because of that, they start sinning against God. Instead of seeking after God, now they're seeking after the things of the world. And then the chastening hand of God will come upon their life. And here's where I'm headed tonight. Just as Israel needed the deliverer to deliver them, I want to tell you, there's a lot of God's people. And you know what they're in need? They're in need of a deliverer. They're in need of somebody that's willing to make a difference in their life. I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a man, you can go back 20 years ago. You know what? I believe I was probably the most carnal man you'd ever find. You say, what happened? God sent me somebody to help deliver me. God started to put a man in my life to help. I'm just saying, as my pastor. God put somebody in my life that helped show me the error of my way, that started bringing me out of that. And you know where it all started? I remember sitting in my bedroom one night telling God, God, I know this is not the life You have for me to live. God, would You just help me to get where I need to be? You know what I did? I repented. And I asked God to help me. I was tired of that. And in return, you know what God did? God put somebody in my life to help deliver me from that life. And that's where a lot of God's people are at today. Because of sin, their lives are a wreck. And you know what they need? They need somebody to help them. And so as I started going through the book of Judges, I started looking at these different judges, the characteristics of a man that God can use to make a difference in somebody's life, a deliverer, so to speak. And so tonight, I want to just look at one verse of Scripture. Judges chapter number 3, verse number 31. The Bible says this, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistine 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel.
Here's the third judge. And here's what I see. There's no mention of Israel's sin. You go back to the first two judges, Othniel and Ehud. You see Israel's sin. God doesn't mention Israel's sin here. He's not directing our attention to what Israel's done. There's no mention of Israel's suffering. How they were in bondage for 9 years or so or whatever. There's no mention of it. The Holy Spirit is not directing our attention toward that. He's not directing our attention toward Israel's supplication. We don't see in this verse about Israel crying out to God. We don't see Shamgar's calling. You go back and you look at Othniel and Ehud, you see how God called them, how God moved in our life. Really, we don't see nothing. All the Holy Spirit is directing our attention to is how there was a man named Shamgar that slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad. An ox goad is just a wooden pole, about 8 feet long. It had a sharp point on one end, and it had a flat point on the other for scraping the plow. The other end was for prodding the ox along. Now, here's what we know. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here's one verse of Scripture on a man named Shamgar, and it's there so we can learn from him. What do we see about Shamgar? Here's a man that God is going to use. Notice the last part of the verse. It says, he also delivered Israel. Here's a man that God used. Here's a nation of people, God's people, that are struggling, they're suffering, and here's a man that God's going to use to deliver them. What do we see about that man? That's just what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. And here's the first thing I see. You start looking at his character, and here's what I see. He's just a common man. The fact that he has an ox goad, I'm just going to tell you, he was probably a farmer. He doesn't appear to be a man of great education. He doesn't appear to be a man of great wealth. He doesn't appear to me right here in this passage, a man with an ox goad, a farmer, that he's going to be a man that's very popular in society. He's just a common man. And so, here's the great challenge when it comes to trying to make a difference in somebody else's life. Here's what the devil tells us. You can't do that. You don't have the ability to do that. We have this mindset many times. If God's going to use us, there has to be something great about us. I mean, we got to be well versed in this. We got to have some sort of extraordinary gift. Shamgar did a great work here. He delivered a nation. You know what was special about him? He's just a common man. See, here's what you need to always keep in mind. God is not looking for somebody that just has some grand special ability. God's looking for somebody that's simply just going to yield themselves to God and say, Lord, here I am. Go over to 1 Corinthians. Verse chapter number 1. Chapter 1, verse number 26. It says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Here's what we see a lot of times. We see people and they're struggling. They're suffering. They need somebody to help them. They need somebody to make a difference in their life. And here's what our flesh starts thinking. I don't have the ability to do that. Here's what we say. Well, I'm nothing. I mean, I don't have any ability. I'm just a nobody. There's nothing I can do. Guess what? You're the man God's looking for. See, God doesn't want somebody with great ability. Here's what would happen. If I was to help somebody make a difference in somebody's life, and I did it upon my ability, you know what I'd be thinking? Man, look what I did. But when you know that you're nothing, and God takes somebody that is nothing, and does something great in the life of somebody else, you know who gets glory from it? God does. Here's Shamgar that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. He's just a common man. Don't let the devil tell you that you're not good enough to be used to God. None of us are. It's just the mercy, God's mercy that He allows any of us to have a part in His work. But you know what God's looking for? God's looking for a man that's willing to be nothing. John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. You don't want to be used to God, you're going to have to get low, you're going to have to get humble. And so I see he was a common man, but then also, we see he had a work ethic. When the Philistines attack, you know where he's at? He's in the field. He's working. You want to make a difference in somebody's life? Let me tell you what, you're going to have a spiritual work ethic. God don't use lazy people. You look all through the Bible, the great heroes of faith. Moses did a great work. You know what he was doing when God called him? Watching over his father-in-law's sheep. David, when God called him, you know what he was doing? He was tending sheep. Elisha was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen when Elijah came to him. Peter, James, and John, you know what they're doing when God called them? They were fishing. Even the Apostle Paul, as misguided as he was, you know what he was doing? He was putting his effort in attacking Christians. Here's what I'm trying to see. God uses people that have a work ethic, that have a drive to want to do something. There's a lot of people, they have the idea of serving God. It's just a life of ease. God can't use people like that. Serving God, I don't know any way of it. Serving God, many times it's hard. It's weary on the flesh. It's work. That's what it is. It's work. And the more you do for God, the more you realize there is that needs to be done. The more you see somebody that's struggling and you try to make a difference in their life, you know what you're going to find out? There's somebody else right next to them that needs help too. And there's somebody else. You need to help this person. And before long, you feel just overwhelmed. You know what it is? It's a work. That's why it's called the work of God. You want to make a difference in a life, in somebody's life, you've got to bend your back. You've got to be willing that I'm going to work. I'm going to put some effort into it. And I'm going to tell you where a lot of that load and that effort comes to. It comes with studying the Word of God. See, the only thing that's really going to make a difference in somebody's life is the Word of God. I can do it. I mean, you take somebody that's struggling, I can do anything I can to help them, but what is really going to help them and change their life is me giving them the Word of God. You take somebody that's struggling and you go and you just try to start doing everything for them and you never give them the Bible, you're really not helping them. It takes only the Word of God can change lives. Now, how do you know what to say? Let me tell you how. You got to study. You got to know what the Word of God says to be able to help somebody. And you know what? Much study is weariness to the flesh. It's hard. But that's what makes a difference. My opinion is not going to help you. Only what thus saith the Word of God. And so, we've got to have a work ethic. And we live in a day when most of God's people were more concerned about catering to the flesh than are catering to the work of God. You get home from work. We get home from work really is our mindset on, hey, I need to get the Bible down. Hey, I need to be studying. I need to figure out what God's saying so when the opportunity comes, I can help somebody else. You know what we do? We want to sit in our chair. We want to kick it out of gear. And we just want to relax. And we want to cater to our flesh. And you know what we're doing? When I sit down in that recliner, here's what I'm saying. God, you're not going to be able to use me tonight. God, you're not going to give me nothing tonight. Lord, I'm not going to study. Lord, I'm just going to sit here. I'm tired. I just don't feel like doing anything tonight. God can't use people like that. God uses people that are workers, that will bend their back and labor. See, God, that's what God's looking for. God's looking for some people that are willing to work. Men who want to make a difference in the lives of others, and so they're preparing and positioning themselves that when the opportunity comes, God can use them. Here's what I see in Shamgar. Just a common man, but he had a work ethic. But then not only that, he was courageous. Courage simply means to be bold or brave. Shamgar is a man who wasn't afraid to fight the enemy. Do you know why a lot of us will never make a difference in the life of anybody else? We're not willing to fight the enemy. Yeah, let me just tell you, you know what the enemy is? It's sin. That's really, when you get right down to the root of it, the enemy's sin. And many times we don't have the courage or the boldness to deal with it. We don't have the courage or boldness to stand against sin. If I see somebody that's struggling, they're wanting help, you know what I've got to be able to do? I've got to identify sin. And you know what? It's not pleasant. It takes some courage to be able to do that. To be able to look somebody in the eye and do it. And I'm not talking about harsh. I'm talking about doing it out of love. Hey, when you love somebody, they can tell. It ain't like you're up there just blasting. But out of love, telling somebody, man, you don't need to get this out of your life. Hey, that right there, that's destroying your life. You need to deal with that. You know what? That's hard to do. But you know what? That's what's going to make a difference. Here's Shamgar. Here's what I'm saying, and I've got to hurry through some of this. When he saw the enemy coming, you know what he did? He stood against him. If you're going to make a difference, every one of us knows people that are truly saved and born again, and their life's a mess. They're in need of help. They're in need of somebody that can deliver them, that can help them, that God can do. Listen, God works through His people to accomplish His will upon earth. If God wants to make a difference in their life, you know what? You could be the one God wants to work through to do it. And if that's going to happen, we have got to be willing. We've got to be courageous enough that we're willing to stand against sin. We're never going to be used of God if we're not willing to stand against sin. And see, it takes some courage or some boldness, because when you stand against sin, here's what you're doing. The world looks upon that. Here's what you're saying. I identify with God. I'm an enemy of the world. There's not many people that's willing to do that. So here's what I'm seeing with Shamgar. He was a common man. He was courageous. He had a work ethic. But then here's what else I see about him. To make a difference in somebody's life, I see commitment. Do you ever think about this? He stood in spite of being alone. We don't read where there was anybody with him. There was not no great army right there to lean upon. Here's the fact of it. He could have ran away just like everybody else and nobody would have thought nothing about it. Nobody would have even knew that he did. There's a lot of people that are willing to stand and do the right thing as long as there's a crowd around watching. But you know what? There's very few when it's just them and nobody to see, nobody know what's going on. There's very few that are willing to stand then. I read this one time and I never forgot. It says, what you are in private is what you really are. You can put on the front, you can paint a picture however you want to, but when you're behind those closed doors and it's just you and yourself, that's when you're going to see what you're really made out of. Here's Shamgar, all alone, and he's standing, he's fighting. And this is sad. I wish it wasn't this way. But if you're serious about serving God and wanting to make a difference in somebody's life, you got to be willing to stand alone. Because most of the time you can come in and say, hey, remember so-and-so, they're struggling. Would you help me pray about that? You know what? Most people never even mention their name in prayer. I had a fellow one time ask me to help him pray for somebody having a hard time. Brother Bud, a couple of weeks later, I talked to him. How's so-and-so doing? You know what I could tell by his mannerisms? He'd forgot all about it. Here's a man asking me to help pray for somebody that he cared about. And then when I asked him about it, he'd even forgot about the need. Here's what I'm trying to say. You're going to have to be willing to stand alone. If you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, many times it's just going to be you. And if you're not willing to stand alone, you're not going to do much for the cause of Christ. We see he stood in spite of being alone. He stood in spite of overwhelming opposition. The Bible says this. He slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. I don't know how many men there were. There may have been 1,000 there. Hey, after he killed 600 of them, maybe the rest of them left. I don't know how many there was total. We just know we killed 600. But here's what we do know. He faced overwhelming odds. That his circumstances were against him. And this is the fact of it. You want to make a difference in somebody's life, the circumstances are always going to be against you. That's just how it is, because the devil is going to fight. Their life is a mess because of sin, and you start trying to make a difference in their life, I mean, the circumstances are just going to pile up. You take somebody, you just try to get somebody in church, and you just watch, they'll have to work their job. They'll be having to work. Their kids will, my kids don't like getting up and going. They fuss. They like to sleep in. Friends and family will mock them for going to church. And then when you do get them there, most of the time you're worried they're going to find fault with everything that goes on. Why? Because our circumstances are always fighting against us. But you know what? Had Shamgar looked at his circumstances and said, you know what, there is no way I can make a difference in this. And he just fled, you know what? Israel would not have got delivered. You know what I'm afraid of a lot of times? We see those in need. We look at the circumstances of the situation, and here's what we say. There's no point to even try. There is no way I can make a difference. But see, here's what we're forgetting. Shamgar had God. You know what? We have God on our side. Circumstances don't mean nothing when you have God. And so Shamgar, he stood in spite of overwhelming opposition. He stood in spite of death. He was risking his life. We're reading the story. We see he came out fine on the other side. He didn't know that. I see a man who is willing to sacrifice his life. And I'm going to tell you, there's not many people that are willing to give their life for the cause of Christ. Our life is about my wants. I've got my plans, my needs. You're struggling. I'm sorry. This is what all I've got going on in life. And you know what? They continue to struggle. The whole time, God's wanting to use you to make a difference in their life. But we're just too busy. We're not willing to sacrifice. Shamgar was willing to sacrifice his life for the cause of Christ. And I want to tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever do is pour your life into somebody else. It's hard. You start trying to help somebody and you feel like you're just beating your head against the wall. But you know what? When victory comes and you come out on the other side, you know what you look at? You just say, man, that's the best thing I ever did. Man, many times in the prison, we go in there and we preach to those guys and you just feel like you're wasting your time a lot of times. But then God will move on the scene. And God will just give you a little hope. He'll just do something. Brother Bud, we was in there last night and they just started praising the Lord. I mean, I got up to preach. We just asked, anybody want to praise the Lord, thank God for anything? Pastor, they just started thanking God. And it wasn't just, I mean, it was some good testimonies. I enjoyed it. You know what that was? That was just God just stirring up, just giving us a little something. Just say, you know what? It's worth it. Every sacrifice, everything, it's worth every bit of it. You want to make a difference in somebody's life, you've got to be willing to sacrifice. And you can't be selfish. We're a selfish people. All we're concerned about is our needs and our wants, our desires, and God can't use us. God's looking for somebody that's willing to say, you know what, Lord, here I am. Lord, just take me and do with me whatever you want for your glory and honor. So here's Shamgar. We see he was a common man. We see his character. We see his commitment. But then I want to see how he fought. It was a hands-on battle. Now you think about something. He's got an ox goad. But he could have threw it. I mean, he could have threw it like a javelin and killed somebody. But you know what? It's hard for me to believe that he threw it and ran and got it and threw it again and did that and killed 600 people. It was a hands-on battle. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, you're going to have to be willing to get your hands dirty. It's going to be a hands-on thing. You can't do it from a distance. And that's... we like to serve God from a distance. It goes back to being selfish. We've got our over here, and we'll do anything from a distance. But when it comes to getting just hands-on and getting right down where rubber meets the road, it's a different story. Did you know if you take somebody that's struggling in a life of sin, you know what they need? They need you right there beside them, living a godly example, identifying sin in their life, helping them get on the right path. See, they're in the shape they're in. They've lost all direction. I mean, their lives are in a mess, and they've just compromised. Things are in a mess. They're asking, God, help me. God, would you help me? And God wants to use you to make a difference in their life. And here's how you're going to do it. You're going to have to be right there hands on with them. You've got to identify sin. You've got to be the example to show them how you live a holy, godly, separated life. All these things. They don't know the way. They've got to see it in you. And it's hard. Many times, you take a family that's gotten out of church, and they know they're not where they need to be, they're struggling, they want God to help them, and you're going to try to make a difference in their life, and you start telling them, you need to get in church. You know what? It's awkward. You start telling somebody, hey, well, that's wrong, you really don't need to be doing that. Brother, buddy, it's awkward.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you take something, when somebody knows their problem, and then you're faced with the thing, I've got to stand right there, and I've got to identify it, it's awkward many times. But you know what? That's part of the battle. That's the hands-on battle, the confrontation. And so, let me just hurry through these. I see a hands-on battle. I see perseverance in the battle. He didn't kill 100 men and say, you know what, I've done my part. Hey, I put forth a good effort. If Israel don't get delivered, you know, I at least tried. I did a little something. You know what he did? He just labored till victory was won. You're going to make a difference in somebody's life. You know what you got to do? You got to have enough perseverance that you're going to lay in there and see it through. Yeah, I mean, if they're struggling, you know what? You just got to lay in there. You got to keep praying. Man, is it just me, or a lot of times, do we just pray? I mean, we see people struggling, or asking God to help them, and we don't see God move. And then in our flesh, here's what you start thinking. You know what? I might as well just give up. God ain't going to answer that prayer. You know what we did? We gave up on them. Here's somebody, I mean, you just picture, we've all got family, you just picture them sitting right there. If I don't persevere in prayer, if I quit praying, who's going to pray for them? How are they going to get help? If God's wanting to use me to help them, and I'm not going to see it through, how are they going to get help? Shamgar persevered in the battle. He didn't quit. He stayed there and he fought until the battle was won. But then lastly, let me give you one more right here. I see his weapon in the battle. You want what? It's just an ox goad. Brother Dre, is nothing special. It's nothing fancy. You know what he did? He just fought with what he had in his hand. What God had given him when the enemy came, you know what? That's just what he used for the glory of God. Wasn't nothing special. Here's what we would have thought. You need a knife. I mean, you're going to go to battle. You need a sword. Hey, you need a javelin. You need something besides an ox goad. You know what Shamgar did? He just took that ox goad, and the world would have said, you're a fool for trying. You can't accomplish nothing with that. And here's what he did. I'm just going to use it for the glory of God. This is what God's put in my hands. That's what I'm going to use to fight the battle with. You know, that's what you and I have to do. We all have different personalities. We all have different abilities, different things. But you know what we have to do? Whatever God has blessed us with and given us, you know what we do? That's just what we fight the battle with. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what we do? We just say, Lord, here I am. I don't have nothing fancy. You're looking at, I don't have nothing fancy. I don't have the finances, I mean, as far as helping somebody, but I'm very limited on what I can do. But you know what I can do? I can just say, God, take me. God, just take me and use me to make a difference in somebody's life. And that's really what it all comes down to. It's not who can preach the best message, who can do. You know, you can preach, I can get up here and preach the best message you've ever heard, but you know what? It's just God. If God don't touch it and use it, nothing's accomplished. I can get up and I could say two words and God can take that and turn somebody's life around. It's not in us. It's not in our ability. It is simply us just taking the opportunities that God gives us and just trying to do something with them. Shamgar teaches us right here from Shamgar. Here's what we see, that anything that we just yield to God, He can take and use it for His glory. And so here's what I'm saying tonight, and I'll finish up here. Shamgar was a man that God used to deliver His people. We all have loved ones and that are saved, but because they toyed around for separation, their lives are a mess and they're in need of help. Does God want to use you to help them? If you're going to help them, here's what you got to do. You got to be courageous. You got to be committed. You got to be willing to stand alone. You got to be willing to fight when nobody else will. You got to be willing to say, "Lord, here I am. Take me and use me to make a difference in somebody else's life." You don't have to be an extraordinary person. You don't have to have extraordinary gifts or weapons. All you got to do is be a man that's willing to just say, "Lord, here I am. Lord, take me." Man, I'm just thinking of all the people in my life I know that are struggling and need of help. And here's what they'll tell you: "I want help." They don't like the way their lives are. I mean, they'll tell you flat straight up, "I'm miserable. I need help." God wants to help them. Does He want to use you to do it? I look at the people I know in my life, and you know what? I may be their only hope. I may be the one that God wants to work through to make a difference in their life. What if I quit? They'll get no help. Here's all I'm saying tonight, and I'll close. If y'all stand to your feet. George, if you want to just come play, just bow your head. I just want to ask you one simple question. Who's waiting on you to make a difference in their life? Who do you know, whether it be family, friends, they're struggling? Are they waiting on you? Is God wanting to use you to make a difference in their life, to deliver them, to get them back on the right path they need to be upon? My, it's a heavy responsibility.